Most of us are too busy to think about our own deaths, but each of us has an appointment we can't avoid. We must be ready. Runners in life's race know that one day the race will be over. Those who run best already know where their track ends. Today, more teaching from the Bible about where unbelievers will spend their eternities. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current Running to Win series is all about what happens 1 minute after you die. Today, Dr. Lutzer brings us teaching about the future for the Old Testament dead, a place called Sheol.
Let me give you another observation. There are indications in the Bible that Sheol has different regions, that it has different regions. We know that because the wicked and the righteous both go into Sheol. That's why some people think that it refers only to the grave. But we know that it means more than the grave. It has to do with what lies on the other side. And we have accounts, for example, of Jacob, who was a righteous man, goes into Sheol. But the sons of Korah who rebelled, the rebellious ones who were against God, they also go into Sheol. So this made the ancient rabbis come to a conclusion that was, I think, very biblical, as we shall see. They said, since Sheol has two different kinds of inhabitants, Sheol also then must have two different compartments. It must have two different regions. And the Bible does speak about the lower regions of Sheol in some of the texts and passages. David says, God will redeem me from the power of Sheol. Now, the whole idea that there are two classes of people in the world to come, the righteous and the wicked, is expressly stated in the book of Daniel. And this is one of the clearest verses in all the Old Testament about the belief in the Old Testament that the Old Testament saints had regarding a future life. It says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, many who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, some to everlasting life, and others to everlasting shame and contempt. They will awake, but you have two different resurrections because you have two different classes of people. Therefore, you have two different places where they go when they die. Now, when you study all the passages, and of course I gave you only two or three because we simply could not possibly begin to look at all the texts, what you discover in the Old Testament is that the curtain to the afterlife is opened just a little bit. We don't see everything that we would like to see. We do see that there are those who intended and hoped to go to glory, but you also find a lot of depressing comments about this place called Sheol, which supposedly is under the earth, though we know not where it is. But when you get to the New Testament, that's when suddenly the floodlights come on. The curtain is opened, and now we begin to see very clearly what lies on the other side, both for the righteous and for the wicked. And so for this reason, I want us now to turn to the New Testament. The Old Testament used the word Sheol, and that's the place where both the righteous and the wicked entered, and where we have every indication that there were two compartments. In the New Testament now, you have the word Hades. And Hades is translated in the King James Version, also in places it's translated hell. And that adds to the confusion because people think Hades is hell. Well, Hades is not hell, as we shall see. And that's why most translations of the Bible, like mine, the New American Standard, now wherever the word Hades occurs, at least in most instances, it simply lets the word stand as Hades, untranslated. And that probably is good because it helps us make these necessary distinctions. With that background now, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. This is surely one of the clearest passages in all the Bible as to what it is like to die without faith in Jesus Christ. As I mentioned to you in another context, Jesus told this story to show that the fortunes of the rich and the poor might be reversed on the other side of death. Because he was speaking to Pharisees who loved money, it says. And in verse 14 of Luke 16, they were scoffing at him because they love money. And he had been talking about the need to be faithful with the funds that God has given to us. And in order for Jesus to explain to these people that it's possible to be rich in this world and poor in the world to come, he told this story. Verse 19. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. Can't you just see him? He would be a man that the artist would like to paint, a man of opulence and riches. The contrast is in verse 20. A certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Beside, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. How poor can you get? Now it came about that the poor man died and was carried away by angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, now that's the translation of the word in the Old Testament, Sheol. Hades equals Sheol. It's the difference between Hebrew and Greek. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, saying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember, during your life you received good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And you know, beside this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, in order that those who wish to come from over here to you may not be able, and none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, Well, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. What a story. It's a true story. What a picture of life on the other side of the grave. What I'd like to do now is to give you several descriptions that will help us to uncover what it is like to die without personal faith in Jesus Christ. First of all, number one, notice that this man was fully conscious. Memory, speaking, pain, bliss. Verse 24, Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. You realize, of course, that Hades is a place of unmet desires. Here's a man who is in torment. He's thirsty, of course. And what he would like to do is to at least have a drop of water put on his tongue. But no water was given to him. Can you imagine those who are alcoholics with that insatiable desire for alcoholism? And now suddenly they find themselves in a region where they scream for a drop of alcohol and none is given to them because they are in the world to come. They have heightened desires, but those heightened desires must of necessity remain unfilled, just a constant burning without being satisfied. Here's someone who in this life is on heroin. Heroin is his God. He will kill for heroin. He will steal for it. He will do all that he possibly can to get another fix. And suddenly he's in a realm where he has these desires. And the desires are there and they are growing, but there is no heroin in Hades. There is nothing, nothing he can do to deaden the pain. Now let's go back to that funeral that I was asked to take here in the city of Chicago. I remember the funeral home. I won't mention it to you, but it's just a couple miles north of here. I remember going there, and because the man was well known, and apparently he had made millions of dollars in the shipping industry, as I discovered later, he not only was in a very elegant casket, but I had to find a place to park. And so I drove around finding that place to park. What was he doing when I was trying to find a place to park, to find his son and to say some words to his distraught widow? He was in agony, in a flame, and he was not satisfied. That's what happened 1 minute after he died. Let's look at a second characteristic. Fully conscious, memory, speaking, pain, bliss, unmet desire, that tortured conscience. Secondly, his eternal destiny was fixed. His eternal destiny was fixed. Verse 26, when he says, you know, Abraham, please send Lazarus to dip my tongue and bring me some water. Abraham said, child, remember that during your life you received good things and now things are reversed. Verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed. And you'll notice we read it a moment ago, and no one can cross from one side or the other. That's it. That's it. And so while this man's friends were able to go to lunch afterwards, obviously I was not invited, but that's what they did. They went for lunch in a restaurant. And while they were able to plan a trip maybe to Europe and to use some of the money that the man left behind, he was in a state, he was in a place of monotony, boredom, and triviality, and there was no way out. The words of Dante, long since forgotten, perhaps came to mind. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here. May I emphasize to you that your eternal destiny is fixed in this life, not in the life to come. You cannot reroute your travel plans. You can't arrive and say, well, this is not where I was intending to go, and I do not like what is happening here. Can I at least call an airline and get me a ticket to somewhere else? This is it. Your suitcase is unpacked, and this is, quote, home, such as it is. Well, yes, such as it is, this is home. This is Pastor Lutzer, and I cannot think of any subject that is more sobering. I'm just sitting here today talking to you, but thinking about what I just said over the radio, and you know that what I've said is true because it's based on God's holy word. And I think that if we were to contemplate eternity, we would immediately go out and we'd begin to think and to pray and say, Lord, how can I get the good news of the gospel to more people? First of all, of course, we would make sure that we ourselves have savingly believed in Jesus and that our assurance is not misplaced. But then we'd go out and we'd share the good news of the gospel that Jesus can prepare us for heaven and those who trust him will be there forever. Well, you stay tuned next time as we continue.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've heard Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part two of The Descent into Gloom, the second message in his series, 1 Minute After You Die. Tomorrow, more insights into Luke chapter 16. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help all of us run the race of life to the very end. 1 Minute After You Die answers some of life's biggest questions. And this series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3, or in Dr. Lutzer's full-length book. For complete information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. To learn more about Moody Church, visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. For more about what happens when you die, don't miss tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.